Well, please have your Bibles open at Psalm 6. Now, there's an old Simpsons episode, and in that episode, Homer is driving along in his old, battered and worn-out car, and he's got the kids in the back, and suddenly they start shouting, "Dad, Dad, look at that, there's a problem!" And the little red warning light that says that it's going to be an engine malfunction is flashing. What do you do when that happens? You cry, which is exactly what Adam did this week, because he was telling me about it. But Homer Simpson, being Homer Simpson, he goes, "Don't worry, soon sort this problem out." And he reaches down on the floor, and he takes out a bit of chewed bubblegum, and he sticks it over the engine warning light. Problem solved. It's gone away. You should have thought of that, shouldn't you, Adam? Yes. Now, is that a sensible thing to do? How many of us want to admit that when trouble comes along, we want to stick our heads in the sand? We want to cover over the problem. We want to just pretend that it's not there. But that's entirely the wrong thing to do, isn't it? When we have a problem, we can't just ignore it. We've got to do something about it. And here in Psalm 6, we see someone with a problem. Not a problem with their car. Not a problem that the red warning light is flashing on the dashboard. But instead, the red warning light is flashing on the inside. They know that something is wrong. Their conscience has gone into overdrive. They can feel that they're facing some sort of great difficulty. And it's affected them deeply. It talks about how their bones are in agony, how they're in deep anguish, how they're worn out from groaning, how they're flooded their bed with tears, how their eyes, their sight is failing, growing weak because of sorrow. Clearly, this person is not in a happy place at all. They're in a very deep and dark and depressive place. And what's the problem? Well, we see it there in verse 1. It's stated in the first line of the psalm. It says, "Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath." The psalmist, David, he's noticed a red warning light, an inward feeling, which when combined with the outward circumstances, makes him realise that God is angry with him. That God is disciplining him. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't want to think about. The fact that God is actually interested in our behaviour and he cares. For the average person outside of the church, the average person in the street, when that little red warning light flashes, their conscience, a God-given gift to us, something that we can't always entirely trust because we're fallen, fallible human beings. But people do have an inbuilt sense of right and wrong. That red warning light flashing on the inside. And time again, people go against their conscience. They ignore what it's saying. And what you end up with is a hardened conscience. And eventually someone who cannot tell right from wrong. That's what most people are doing out there in the world as they live their lives. They are just putting their head in the sand against what the things inside them are telling them. They're putting their head in their sand about the truth that God exists, that he is living, that he knows all things. He sees exactly what you do and he cares about it. He cares when you do right and he cares when you do wrong. And when we think of other parts of Scripture, that even our most righteous deeds are filthy rags in his sight, everything we do is actually wrong. So God does care. If, as it says in the other Psalms, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then ignoring the Lord is clearly the height of both foolishness and arrogance. That's how some people treat their conscience. That's how some people think about God and their relationship with him. They just pretend it's not there. But other people, they may acknowledge that God exists. And when that red warning light is busy flashing in their lives, what do they do? Well, metaphorically, they do the same as what you do if you're on the motorway. You pull it to the side of the road, and you ring the AA, or the RSC, or Green Flag, or your local garage, or something like that. And they only turn to God when they've got a problem. You know, you only turn to the AA, or the RSC, or Green Flag, when you've got a problem with your car. People will only turn to God when they have got a problem. And now that's not really the best way to treat God, as if he's just there to sort out your issues and your difficulties, because he's there all of the time. The rest of the time, they get on with their lives as if God doesn't exist. And something comes along, boom, they turn straight to God. Maybe they even blame God for the things that have gone wrong. For people like that, the thought that God is aware of what they do and he cares and he can get angry with them because of the wrong things that they do, well, that's something which they just cannot accept. Other people, they're Christians. They have a relationship with God. They know that they're being forgiven. But as time goes on, things seem to get cold. They're feeling further and further away from God. And they know that God's word tells them that they've got to lead a life that's sort of in keeping with God's word. They know that there's sinful areas of their life which they need to be moving away from. They know that there's things that they do which are wrong. Maybe they've done something really big and they've covered it up. Or maybe they're in the habit of doing something and their conscience is there telling them it's wrong. It's flashing. That red light is flashing. But they're ignoring it and they're getting distant from God. Well, that's the sort of person who really, really needs to pay attention. All these people do need to pay attention. But that person in particular captures the sort of sense that we've got in this psalm. Because in this psalm, we've got an individual who clearly knows the Lord, but someone who has done something wrong and knows that the Lord is disciplining him. Now, we don't like the idea of being disciplined, do we? Who likes being told off for doing something wrong? Go on, put your hands up. No one likes being told off. I don't know. What do you not like? No one likes being disciplined, even by other people. Never mind by God. And yet, we know that God is holy. That means he's completely pure. There's no darkness in him. There's no sin there at all. And we know that we're called to be a holy people. We know that God is righteous. We know that God is just. We know that as Christians, we're to follow in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and become more like him. Praise the Lord that this is a gradual process. If we had to do it instantly, it would be, you know, almost impossible. But praise the Lord that he works in our lives slowly. And that means we grow. And as we grow, as we get to know more about the Lord, as we get to know more about his word, then maybe red warning lights start to flash. And something that we once thought was okay, we start to realise, actually it isn't. What happens when we ignore that warning and we keep on living in that sin? Well, for the psalmist, his red warning light is flashing. And he realises that he's been ignoring God's word. And when we ignore God's word, he's got another way of bringing us back into line. That's his rod. Discipline. The Lord uses discipline to get us back into line. And right now, if you're a Christian, and you can feel that the red warning light's flashing, and then suddenly things have gone terribly wrong, outward circumstances have become difficult. A problem with the family, a problem with your finances, a problem with your health, something like that. Then it is possible that the Lord is disciplining you. He's calling you to account, as it were, shaking you by your shoulders, making you to wake up and realise that what you're doing is not in line with God's word. It's not in line with the life that he wants you to live. Now, at this point, I've got to be very careful, Because there's some people out there who get very, very confused about this. And they think that the Lord wants, you know, that just to lead lives which are healthy and happy and really good. And when anything happens, then that's the Lord disciplining them. Now, I've even been, while living up here, I've even talked to Christians. And they've said to me, well, we don't understand what's going on. We do everything that the Lord wants, but we've got mice in our house. Why is the Lord punishing us with this vermin? People have actually said that to me in this building. You know, people who come in. And the thing is, they've got mice in their house because they've got a hole somewhere in the wall, and the mice are getting in, and that's what mice do in the autumn. They come in, and they're looking for a warm place for the winter, so make sure your homes are all sealed up. You might get vermin in your house if not. We live in a fallen, fallible world. We have not yet received our resurrection bodies, which means that we grow old, we crumble, and things go wrong. Praise the Lord for the medical staff and the medicines we have nowadays, which keep us going. We live in a world which is full of sin, and Christians can be sinned against, which means things do happen. We might get burgled, we might have our car smashed into us, something like that. These things happen. That's part of life in a fallen world. And as these things happen to us, it just fills our longing for heaven, for the new heavens, for the new earth, for that time when everything will be set right, because we know it's not right. These things happen. Every Christian who has ever lived since the time of Jesus, they've died. We grow old. We die. We suffer health problems. Like it or not. That's one of the things that amazes me about the prosperity gospel. Because if the prosperity gospel is true, there'd be a group of people who never die. You never see that, do you? We all grow old and we crumble away. Praise the Lord for the hope that we have got. So, it's not living in a sinful world. It's that combination of you knowing that you're living in sin, that there's something you need to repent of, or you've got a habit that goes on through your life, that you know the Lord is unhappy with, and he's convicting you in his word about that thing, and you're ignoring that red warning flashing light, and then boom, suddenly something happens. At that point, you've got to ask the question, is the Lord disciplining me? Is the Lord in his love calling me back to the right way? We know, don't we, that when children aren't disciplined, it's a sign that their parents don't love them. Do not teach them how to behave in society, which causes all sorts of problems. We know, don't we, that we discipline our children and our grandchildren when they're about to run off into the main road. We tell them not to do that. That's a really bad idea. Love sets boundaries. And that is what the Lord does in our lives as well. He sets boundaries. And when we're about to cross those boundaries, he stops us dead in our tracks. And it's a good thing that he does, because it's a sign that he loves us. So as people this morning, as we look at this psalm, we see a man who is in deep, deep distress, inwardly and outwardly. Have you ever felt like that? I'm sure some of us have. It's interesting that in the lives of many people, when they're approaching the moment they're converted, they often get a sense of the weight of their sin. They'll start to feel that they've offended a holy God. They'll realise what they've never realised before. That God exists, that he looks at what they do, and they find out that God. They realise that they have fallen short of God's standards. That's what sin is. Falling short of God's standard. Not measuring up to the mark. And when people realise that, when that becomes a living reality in their lives, they realise from the bottom of their heart that they cannot reach God's standards. That all they deserve is punishment and hell. That's a clear sign that the Lord is working in their hearts. And at that point, if you're here this morning and you're starting to think about that, then you need to do what the psalmist does. And if you're a Christian, you think you might be under the Lord's discipline, you need to do what the psalmist does as well. And that is, he cries out for mercy. He turns to the Lord. He cries out for mercy. He's in deep anguish. He's asking, how long, Lord? How long is this going to go on? And then, verse 8, away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. And we see there that the Lord hears our cries for mercy. Because that's all we can do, is ask for mercy, not receiving the punishment that we deserve. And that leads us to the point of conversion. And as Christians, when we stray from the Lord, what the Lord wants us to do in our lives, all we can do is cry out for mercy, is to repent of our sin. And a repent is turning away. And that's picked out in the first line of verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil. There's a separation there between David and evil and wickedness. He wants to get away from it, to separate himself from it. As Christians, we should be the people who want to separate ourselves from evil. We should be drawn towards the light, not back into darkness. We need to be people who are sensitive to the way that the Holy Spirit is prompting us towards the light as we go back down into darkness. Red light of conscience may flash. We need to be people who are willing to separate ourselves from evil, to cry out for mercy, and to trust in the Lord's promises. This psalm was written by David, and the Lord made certain promises to David about his kingship, about the throne going on, and about, you know, one day there will be that great son of his, the Lord Jesus Christ, born into David's line. And there's that link there between that psalm and our situation. David rested on the promises that God had made for him. He trusted in him. He cried out for mercy, and the Lord rescued him. For us as Christians living in the new covenant era, we don't look at the promises made to David's family. We look to the result of those promises, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in his word, we see quite clearly that every person who turns to him in faith and repentance will be accepted. So if you're not a Christian, if you haven't made that step, and the red light of conscience is flashing, and you're thinking, I'm too bad, I've done all these terrible things. Now I've lived however many years, and I've ignored God. If you're feeling like that, don't worry. Every person who puts their faith and trust in him will be accepted. They will be forgiven, and then we've been brought into that Christian life, which is completely different to the lives that we used to live. That means some things have got to go. They go slowly as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord. And when we resist that process, and at some point we do all resist it, there's some things that we don't want to let go of. And that red light of conscience, it starts flashing in our hearts. And then maybe things suddenly happen, and we know we've got to deal with the problem. We've got to cry out to mercy to the Lord once again. We need to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying to us, as we pay attention to those red warning lights and don't seek to put our head in the sand or cover up the light with some chewing gum. Well, this brings us quite nicely, really, to the breaking of bread. It does. Because as we gather around this table, we remember the great price that the Lord had to pay for us to be forgiven. He didn't come along and say sorry. He didn't come along and do some time in prison or some community service or something like that. The punishment fits the crime. And in the Bible it says that the wages of sin, not meeting God's standards, is death. And the Lord Jesus, he went to death on that cross, on our behalf, in our place, so that God's righteousness and justice could be fulfilled, and God's love and mercy could be shown. Love and mercy mean righteousness and justice on the cross, as Jesus pays the price so that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. The sins that were committed before we were Christian, the sins that were committed while we were being Christian, and those sins that we will commit sometime in the future. But for the Christian, we need to keep short accounts. When we fall short, and we all trip over and fall short sometimes, straight away, we need to turn to the Lord and ask for his forgiveness once again.